The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Good morning. It's 11 minutes after 6. Join the conversation at 770-5633, 770-KMED. My email, bill@billmyersshow.com. The facebook.com/billmyersshow. Less censored Facebook feed is now up ever since. You know, the funny thing is that, Meta does appear to have taken its boot off of my Facebook account, off the neck of my Facebook account. It's quite interesting. For the longest time, I got to the point where, why should I bother doing a Facebook post? Because it's political. And if it's political, Facebook doesn't let anybody see it. Because people only want to see inane dog and cat videos. Not that there's anything wrong with dog and cat videos, because I watch them myself. I especially like to watch the cat videos with the two cats going, blah, 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 blah. And then the other one goes, eh. You know, Linda always laughs when I do those things. But you would hope that we would have a little more than that as far as discourse. But yeah, people are actually starting to see Facebook posts I'd notice that I put up there. So yeah, I think that Zuck's actually doing what he said he was going to do. It's kind of nice to hear. Kind of nice to see this going on. As far as the news that's going on this morning, Supreme Court did not interfere. It did not block President-elect Donald Trump's criminal sentencing, which means he's being sentenced as a felon any moment now. I mean, that was always the goal. You know that. That was about just getting him tagged with the felon as president, that sort of thing. Well, if that's the case, then I'm going to say I proudly voted for the felon. That's the way we deal with this. Now, it'll likely be overturned on appeal. It was a BS trial from the start, but BS trial, BS lawfare, that's just, that's what we've been living with these days. TikTok is going to be before the Supreme Court today, speaking of the Supreme Court, and the conversation will be about whether a law that Congress passed to force them to, sell away from communist China is constitutional or not. It'll be interesting to find out what happens with the oral arguments. We'll have more analysis on that Monday, especially. Providence is on strike. 5,000 Providence nurses and about 150 doctors, midwives, and advanced practice providers say they will strike starting 6 o'clock. So they've been on strike for 13 minutes. I haven't seen anything come in that says that the strike has been held off. And this is a big deal. Oregon Governor Tina Kotek urging Providence to reconsider its decision to withdraw from all bargaining with nurses last week. And it's interesting because the Oregon Nurses Association, I've been looking at their, I've been kind of like half joking about their releases, their news releases as they would come in. You know, Providence, not trustworthy. Providence, evil people. Providence, this and that and the other. And it's just like, wow. And then, okay, you get your raise and then everything's okay. Then they became nice people again. Here's the deal. Here's the real situation that nobody wants to talk about. Providence offered the nurses a 20% raise. Damn, I would kiss my boss on the lips for a 20% raise. Not seriously, George, but you get it. I'm getting over a cold. But still, 20% raise, not enough. And the nurses were saying that, we want working conditions. We want working conditions changed. We want more staff per patient. Here's the problem. Nurses not only want more money, but they want more of them on the job. Here is your challenge. I was reading this article this morning from OPB. And you can go to opb.org. And it says the Providence healthcare strike explained. And they're going through all of the this and that and the other. You know, who's complaining about what? What kind of raises have been offered and this and that and the other. And you know what the biggest key ingredient, you know what they call it, burying the lead, in which the number one point is at the very end of this 6-7 page story. So if you're looking in the beginning of the story, everything's about, oh, those poor nurses and, oh, those nasty Providence people and why did the mediation break down? And then you get to the very end of it. This is the key point. Providence, like many hospital systems, holds a multi-billion dollar investment portfolio, but it's been losing money on its core business in Oregon, providing health care. Between 2022 and 2024, Providence's Oregon hospitals have operated at a loss for 8 out of 10 quarters. In other words, they're losing money hand over fist. The organization expects another annualized loss for Providence, Oregon for 2024. Through the third quarter, it's showing an operating loss of more than $100 million. That's the backdrop to Providence's reluctance to make more concessions. So the nurses are saying, pay us more, hire more of us, and put them everywhere so that we don't have to work so hard, or that we don't have as much of a workload. They'll talk about it as patient care and making sure that you have adequate help. And I know everyone's overworked, okay? So I'm not making light of this, but the money's not there. The money's not there. And this is even in spite of the fact that Providence said, yeah, we'll give you a 20% raise. So I think Providence is saying that, okay, we could give you a raise, but we can't give you a raise and hire a bunch more of you so that the workload is less. Because the money's not there. Why is the money not there? Well, for the same reason the money's probably not in Asante and all the other hospital systems too. Obamacare. It's been insane. But here it is. Oregon Public Broadcasting does all this stuff. And the main point at the very end of a 7-8-page story. It astounds me. That's the main thing. They don't have the money. They couldn't realistically, you just can't do it. Oh, Providence is a big company. Not when it's losing $100 million a year.
They're a nonprofit.
Yeah. And they have a fiduciary duty to remain as a going concern, to stay in business. But I guess, we're in this world in which unions and everybody else, in Oregon, you don't have to know how to add or subtract. You just need to have a need. As long as you have the need, you should have the pay raise or the condition differences or whatever the case might be. And I'm not throwing the nurses under the bus. I know, inflation has been ravaging everyone, including Providence itself. And this going on at the same time that I'm hearing all these rumors about Kaiser or some other company looking at maybe taking over Asante, because Asante may be having challenges as a moving forward. This is what I'm hearing from behind the scenes. I have not been able to get confirmed or anything like that, but contracts being canceled at the end of the year, all sorts of things changing, and you have these hundreds of millions of dollars of lawsuits pecking to death Asante, likely. And I'm not saying there wasn't liability there. I'm not questioning this. I know people died. But I swear, by the time that we're done with all between the Providence strike and what's going on at Asante, the only people that will have made out okay may be the trial lawyers. That may be about it. It's an interesting time, all right? But remember, Providence has lost money almost every day that it's been operating the last 2-3 years. And yet they're still offering a 20% raise to the nurses. But it's not enough. Well, you can't just magically come up with more money to hire more nurses and give them raises. Same with the doctors, too. But then if that... maybe you can, I certainly know I can, add and subtract, and that seems to be lacking in a lot of labor negotiation these days. This is the Bill Meyer Show, and you're on KMED.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
Winter rain wreaks havoc on your home's foundation. You know, when soils saturate and expand, they put pressure on your home's foundation. Look for wall cracks in corners or above doorways, sagging or bouncy floors, or doors that stick. These issues only get worse and more costly over time. 60% of homes do experience water damage. Terra Firma is the Northwest's number one choice to keep homes safe, dry, and stable. Safeguard your foundation and protect your home. Schedule your free in-home evaluation. Visit GoTerraFirma.com. CCB 173.
One of each, K4 VIN 016551 MSRP 24145, Telluride VIN 593123 MSRP 45535 5999 due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer plus tax, title, license, 150 registration processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 2225.
Ready to go? You've got the green light at Kia Medford. During the Green Light Savings Event, shop our huge selection of brand new Kias, like the all-new 2025 Kia K4 LXS, just $169 a month lease, or a new 2025 Kia Telluride EX all-wheel drive, only $269 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Don't wait. Drive a K4, $169 a month, or Telluride, $269 a month. Save big when the green light is on at Kia Medford. Click Kia Medford.com.
Hi, I'm Paul Stradler with Valley View Nursery, and I'm on KMED.
22 minutes after 6. Friday, the 10th of January. You know, this morning was the final Hugh Hewitt show, at least in the 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. slot that we have here, because Sebastian Gorka ended up going back to the White House on the Salem Radio Network, and so Hugh Hewitt's going to move to afternoons. I wonder if Sebastian's going to take his relief factor in getting rid of the pain of working in the Trump administration. Wayne, you were wondering about that move with Hugh Hewitt. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Bill.
Morning.
Yeah, I've kind of grown attached to Hugh Hewitt over the last, half a year.
Mm-hmm.
And Lars Larson, to me, is so irritating on the way he runs his show.
Oh, yeah?
So that's why I was hoping that we could put Lars Larson at 3 o'clock in the morning to 5 and take Hugh Hewitt in the afternoon.
Boy, that would be a hard lift here. So what is it about Lars though that irritates you? I'm just kind of curious because he's, you know, let me tell you, if Lars is not on the air, I hear about it. If there are problems with Lars, he seems to be very popular here.
He's so egotistical. You know, he talks, he brags about how he takes the naysayers first and gives them time. And then when they come on, he just dumps on them. he doesn't show them any respect. And then also the way he manages his show, unlike you, you're fantastic, Bill.
Oh.
You're what I call a flex broadcaster. You don't watch the clock. You know, if it 6 o'clock news comes around and it's rolling past 6, you're still going to take the conversation with a caller or an interviewer and run the news 5 minutes late. Big deal. Who cares?
You know, it's
but Lars. Lars Larson, man, he just shuts you right off. Puts on the music.
Yeah, I get that. And we have the break. Well, the thing is, though, most shows run that way. The fact that we're live here in the morning, though, gives us a lot of flexibility, and I like it for that reason, because if there's a good conversation going, I'll stick with the conversation.
I love it.
But if you have, but here's the challenge. It's not Lars's fault, okay? I'll use that country song. It ain't my fault, you know, that kind of thing. But it's just one of those things where most talk radio stations are very regimented on it's always going to be. And even then, all of our other syndicated programs such as Hannity and Ground Zero and Coast to Coast and everything else, that's just sort of the way it goes, that the top of the hour, 10 seconds before the top of the hour, your legal ID for your station plays, your news plays at the top of the hour. In this case, town hall news. 5 after, you've got your weather and a promo break, and then you're back into a syndicated show at either 6 after or 6.5 minutes after, as the case goes. It's sort of been the working model for national talk show hosts for a long time. It's not really Lars' fault, okay? Just so you know.
Well, I'm sure glad we have your model, Bill.
Well, that's because we're doing it locally this way, and, you know, it's, you know, we could be a little more flexible. But, you know, but other radio stations, if you were trying to do this kind of a show for a nationwide audience, it would not work as well. That's what I was getting at, okay?
Who makes the programming decision?
Well, I do, and my boss, George, does. It's kind of a joint effort here. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so what you're telling me then is that you'd rather hear Hugh Hewitt noon to 3.
All day. As Lars says, all day long and twice on Sunday. I'm so tired of him.
Okay. All right. I appreciate the opinion, though. Thanks for checking in.
Sure.
Yeah. It's not very often we get a chance to talk about the inside baseball. That's the way that goes. Let me go to... I know Lars is very popular, though, and he's also dealing with Northwest issues. That's another great advantage. And remember, we ended up having to move some things around to get Sean Hannity. You know, Sean Hannity was new to 3, and then to bring, and that's when he's live, you know, on the East Coast. But then to get Lars on, and this was a number of years ago, we had to get Sean to agree to go on a tape delay to 3 o'clock, and he was very nice about that because, you know, Sean and Lars were friends about this. So, you know, we have all sorts of agreements in place to make this happen. Let me go to next line. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome. Hello?
Global Patrick here, Bill. Good morning.
Hey, DP. How you doing?
Oh, good. I'm doing good. I really want to echo that last caller. I can't stand Lars Larson.
Really?
And,
I really enjoy Lars. I just never detected all that hate. But anyway, what is it?
You know what? He's a word dispenser. Have you ever heard him laugh? Ever? Never.
Well,
have you ever heard him change his cadence or change his voice or use a dramatic pause and change his style at all? He's a robot.
Well, hey, listen, that's the future. Maybe Lars is just now, he's going where the trend is to maybe he's an artificial intelligence before they were cool. I don't know.
Right.
I'm just kidding, by the way, folks.
I think you're onto something there. And you know, since Hugh Hewitt's going to be gone, I'll take his time slot. I got a lot of my mind.
I'm sure you would, but a host named Chris Stegall will be taking over the 3 to 5 a.m. slot on Monday. Okay,
I'll look forward to that.
So I just wanted to make sure that you're assured that that it's not going to be dead air and blank on Monday morning. Okay.
I appreciate what you do. I'm like that last caller. You're the best. I'd listen to you 24 hours. I wouldn't. In fact, I got a plan for you. You could do a 12-hour show. Wouldn't be that hard. You just have a cot right there in the studio, and you'd be some sandwiches nearby. And I'm sure Linda would be okay with
that. No, I think what we need to do, though, is that I would need to give Lucretia the afternoon drive show, 3 to 6 p.m., okay?
That'd be even better. She never runs out of stuff to say.
Oh, no, she doesn't. And then we'll hear about every doctor and whatever earthschool.nol is up to on the web as far as the wind blowing the fires around. So, you know, the way I tend to look at Lucretia, though, love her. And it's all part of our radio family. You know that. Our dysfunctional radio family, Patrick. That the way I look at it is that I kind of look at Lucretia kind of like the way I would look at Alex Jones. Not everything. I can't go with everything. But if even 10% of it is true, it's terrifying. Okay? That's all. And we'll just leave it at that.
It's wonderful type of terrifying.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, thanks for the call, Patrick. I really appreciate that. 6:30 at KMED 99.3 KBXG. Rick Manning's going to join me here. We got plenty to talk about on the D.C. Swamp Update. And I don't know, has President Trump been convicted and now officially called a felon? They're not going to put him in jail. No punishment, no jail time, no nothing. They just wanted to be able to call him a felon. That's what this is always all about. You're on the Bill Myers Show.
Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company provides water to Rogue Valley homes from
Southern Oregon Magazine. Visit bestofsouthernoregon.com today.
The Bill Myers Show is on. News Talk 106.3 KMED.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights because I don't want to see.
Mama told me that's coming.
The Lazy Swamp Update. Rick Manning, President of Americans for a Limited Government. Stinkier, swampier, and Trumpier than ever. Now we can put Trumpy in there with the Swamp Update. How you doing, Rick? Welcome back to the show. Morning.
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me.
All right. By the way, we need to have a little bit of a different musical interlude here right now, too, especially given what's been going on the West Coast.
In the late great Golden State, it's getting hard to negotiate when you once slipped from a grim fate. In the late great Golden State.
Yeah, it's just been a serious story there. The late great Golden State, at least playing out here. More than 10 dead. I guess they arrested one guy with a propane flamethrower last night at one of the fires, and they are accusing him of having started it. And your brother, didn't you say your brother had to evacuate? Tell me what happened, how it affected your family, too. I guess your dad is far enough away from the fire that it didn't hurt him, and that's good.
Yeah, my dad's in Orange County, which is not affected by this spate of fires.
Mm-hmm.
My stepbrother lives by the Rose Bowl. He is, and that whole area is, to describe it for people who haven't been there, is a series of small canyons. Okay, that are, it's not really mountainous. It's like going into it,
mm-hmm.
but when water runs off, it creates canyons naturally, and they're kind of V-shaped. And those canyons are full of brush. There's not a lot of trees, but they're full of brush. And if you don't, if you don't clear the brush occasionally, you end up with, pretty big fire hazard. And so you have houses that are on kind of ridges, or flatter spaces in the hill. And then you have these pretty steep little ravines. And the ravines are just ripe for fires just to run down the ravine.
Oh yeah, and it's like it's like a venturi in which the wind will hit it then, and then as it goes into the V and gets compressed, it goes faster too, and you get these amazing. If people have never lived in Southern California and experienced the Santa Ana winds, last time I lived in Southern California, it was in the mid 1970s, but I remember as a kid we would see the. In October, November even, you'd see the wind would come in and would topple the trees and blow the fires around then. It's something which has always been a part of the landscape
right.
there. Right?
Well, it's just the nature of living in a place where you have a marine layer on the west, and you have a hot desert that is about 50, 60 miles east, maybe 100 miles east. And in between you have mountains and hills and canyons and stuff, and valleys. And when the hot air from the desert starts blowing through, it's a strong wind, but it's a warm wind, and it is a dry wind. There is absolutely no moisture in it at all, and so the Santa Ana's run. They're always there. And so that's why you see these kind of fires in Southern California. You've got dry climate. The last measurable rain in Southern California was in March, although I will tell you, in Orange County, there was some rain when I was out there a couple weeks ago. It's a little more damp and cold than you normally would have expected.
Yeah, but it's nothing appreciable, right? It's nothing that's going to be.
We're not talking Portland here.
Yeah.
We're talking, a mist that, sort of like a fog, the wetness from a fog. But anyway, so that's what happened. He got a notification that just said that he needed to be out of there. And he, his family was evacuated. And now they're having a problem where people are going to evacuated areas that didn't get hit by fire, and they're picking through the people's possessions who were evacuated.
Oh, so they're just so the thugs are looting the place. In other words,
we have reports of looting and the like, and it's a it's pretty despicable. It's kind of lining up every kind of evil instinct that you might imagine having. In a state that for years politically has said it's actually okay to go steal other people's stuff. After all, they're insured.
Well, as long as it wasn't over a certain dollar amount, it's okay to steal people's stuff. That's it.
And, you know, and for those who remember, President Trump, back in his first presidency, when there were wildfires in Northern California, which devastated whole small rural communities, killing everybody in the town. Basically, it was just large swaths, just death by fire in these small rural towns in Northern California. The, you know, people in L.A. laughed when he talked about raking the forest and things like that, and said, listen, you're not engaged in proper forest management. You need to be doing certain things. And, you know, and so the, you know, the memesters from Hollywood would sit there and show Trump with a rake trying to, you know, rake a big forest, you know, recognizing, you know, from the part of the world your audience is from, you're from, it's, you know, you know more familiar with forestry. And
Trump was just speaking inelegantly, but he was right. But he was ultimately right with the main point that he was trying to make. And, okay.
Yeah, he's sitting there saying, listen, you gotta tend for, you can't allow brush and dead timber to be, to just sit there for long periods of time, because it becomes kindling and it makes it fire almost unstoppable when you have, when you haven't forested the dead and dying trees.
Yeah, oxygen, heat, and wind, and there you go. You know, it's like with fuel, lots of fuel,
yeah,
and this is it. And we've been, you know, suffering under the same sort of situations, and yet we're told that the way we're going to do everything and solve everything in Southern Oregon is that we're just going to do prescribed burning all the time, which means that we have no tourist industry. But you know,
and don't worry, the water that used to be there in the Klamath River Basin for using for fighting fires is, will now be out to sea, so we can have 12 salmon swim up the river. But
you know, my boss was saying a little bit earlier that at some point here, Rick, and I agree with him, because I think he distilled it down to the simplest term. At some point, we have to decide: are humans worth saving? Is that a fair assessment of what we're doing in our so-called battle of the Endangered Species Act and everything else? It's almost as if everybody else is important except the actual people who are living here and moving forward. I don't know. Is it just me, or we're not?
No, it's not. It's not just you. And the fact of the matter is, the environmentalists, when you read what they say and want, they don't believe the humans are worth saving. They believe the humans are the invasive species, and it is and need to be removed from so-called wilderness areas to allow for natural habitat to exist.
Well, these are the people that run California, aren't they?
Yeah, the people who run California, the people who run the Biden administration's, you know, entire environmental policy, every one of the agencies that deal with that, they're the people who sit there and say, oh, we're going to take do a presidential edict and using a broad interpretation of a law that can never be changed, taking, you know, 650,000 acres of potential oil and natural gas development off the books.
I think that was 650 million acres, wasn't it?
It was. I understand. I couldn't. It was such a large number that I was having a hard time. It was almost like talking about the federal deficit. We're talking about an idea that there's too many humans, and by several billion, and the best recourse is to actually not help Sally Struthers save people in Africa. Mm-hmm. The best recourse is to let humans die, and to deny the wonder that has caused humanity to be able to thrive, the fact that we are able to control nature to some degree, and are able to, take water and funnel it into fields so we can then grow stuff and all those wonderful things that have allowed for people to survive and thrive, are actually counter to what the base environmental movement wants, which is an eco balance based on people living at survival levels.
Have you ever noticed, though, that these people calling for fewer humans never kill themselves?
Well, they do in Oregon.
Well, everybody's in the Oregon. I think everybody gets a. We're going to start being issued, I'm sure, cyanide pill at some point, as part of healthcare.
I didn't mean to be facetious.
Yeah, I know. I know.
But the fact of the matter is, it's sort of like mass transit. Mm-hmm. The people, everybody up in Portland, Multnomah County, really wanted many years ago, were pushing hard for mass transit. But when you polled them, you found out that what they wanted was mass transit for everybody else, so they could drive their car.
Speaking of mass transit, did you hear that in Josephine County, in Grants Pass, our next city from Medford, the electric bus caught on fire the other day? Batteries.
It's a problem.
It's funny, but all of this stuff that we're talking about, though, is connected with the government in one form or another. It's like the government is so involved in trying to fix stuff that it has no business trying to fix. I mean, it used to be that transit districts were all about just moving people from point A to point B in a reasonable fashion. But then I was looking up, the cost of the electric bus. I think it was about $350,000 to $400,000 at the time. They got four of them. And when I was looking at all of the writings about it within the environmental and also the transit press, everybody was talking about, it's wonderful, these places like Josephine County and a few other transits there that are going out on the edge, and they're going with this this new technology, this new way of having it. And of course, it's the problem that with every other electric vehicle is that sometimes they just self-immolate. Other than that, they're fine. But that's okay. We were out there doing our best for the climate, Rick. That's the world.
But the irony to all that is 40 years before that, natural gas buses were being run, at least in L.A. They're all natural gas, which were absolutely clean to fuel the burn.
And we still have them here in Southern Oregon, but they're not clean enough. With the with the gangrene world, it's never clean enough.
Well, the challenge they have with it, and this is the dirty little secret, is it's not that they don't. They don't care about the environment. What they care about is control. The natural gas was fine, and everybody on the left loved it. Until we had a lot of it. The minute we had a lot of it, because of hydraulic fracturing, suddenly it became evil. Because
then it became climate change causing, right?
It's because it's not about, it's just the whole premise they have is a lie. It's not about the climate. It's not about the environment. It's about the destruction of the capacity for the United States to be the most powerful nation in the world and have industrial capacity. It's about destroying Western capitalism, when you say, "Gee, natural gas is fine when we have to import it from around the world and we're dependent upon it."
Yeah, but if we have a lot of it and we can use it all the time, that's bad.
So what are the things they attack? Okay, they've attacked coal. We have a 350, and they've successfully attacked coal, 350-year supply of coal to satisfy all of our energy needs in the ground in America. Can't use it. They're attacking. So then we become Saudi Arabian natural gas because of hydraulic fracturing. So what happens? Natural gas is suddenly, even though it's clean to burn, it's bad. Mm-hmm. Why is it bad? They're not quite sure why it's bad. But because it comes out of the ground, it must be bad. Not to mention, ignoring the fact that lithium comes out of the ground and all, cobalt and all the things needs for the electric world they envision are bad. The key is they want it to be hard to produce electricity and store electricity in this country. They want it to be hard to get around in this country and for us to be able to do so independently. They loved the idea of the constant. We're going to run out of gas in 10 years or 20 years. Those kind of futuristic prognostications that allowed them to push to say we have to restrict use. Mm-hmm. They love that. they can't stand abundance because abundance destroys their entire argument and their entire attempt to destroy the Western capitalist world.
Abundance puts the lie to that. By the way, these are also the same kind of people that cheered James Woods' house burning down.
100%. These are not good people. They cheered James Woods' house burning down because James Woods had the audacity to use his platform as a Hollywood celebrity to actually ridicule them and take them on social media. So obviously he must be an evil person. And his house burning down was proof that, you know, there's some kind of karmic revenge. Notwithstanding the fact that the 99 liberals who lived around him all had their houses burnt down too. But they're not good people by and large. I'm not saying everybody on the left's a bad person. That's not true. But there are some people who just are miserable human beings, and they take it about 10 miles too far. And those are the kind of people who you find sitting with a gun next to the golf course that Donald Trump's playing golf on, waiting for 18 hours to try to kill him.
Yeah, it does seem to be that way. And this is why you have to know your enemies, so to speak, here. I just know that all the people who have lost their homes in Southern California would feel really good about some of the spending that these liberals have had. Some of that I was looking at here. Let's see. L.A. Allocating, because remember, they cut funding to the fire department. We know that, right?
Right.
And they are also more worried about having a DEI hire as the fire department chief. But anyway, I digress. Let's see. L.A., $100,000 to the Civil and Human Rights and Equity Department for a Midnight Stroll Transgender Cafe. And let's see. There was also another $100,000 for the NAACP awards there. $8,600 for the One Institute, the International Gay and Lesbian Archives. That was more important than sending it to the fire department, apparently. And let's see. The One Archives at USC Libraries, you had to pay for that. $13,000 for the LGBTQ Heritage Month programs, $14,000 to the Gay Men's Chorus of Los Angeles. I mean, I could go on and on with this kind of stuff, Rick. But that's what the liberal world thinks is important, okay?
And I will point out to you that there was an election about a year and a half ago, maybe two, between a guy named Rick Caruso, who's one of the major developers in L.A., Democrat. He was the chairman of the USC Board of Trustees, my alma mater. But he spent about $40 million running for mayor of California, or mayor of Los Angeles. And he lost to Representative Karen Bass, who also spent a lot of money, whose claim to fame isn't, she's never built anything in her life, but she was part of Castro's communist recruits to overthrow America, and never walked away from that. She was one of the three vice presidential people considered for the vice presidency.
Yeah.
By Biden is his tour looking for when he said, oh,
yeah, he's looking for a vice presidential candidate. Isn't that terrifying? Isn't that terrifying when you think about it?
It's pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
So the people of L.A. had a really had a choice in who they wanted to have as their mayor. And they were getting, you know, because it wasn't one of those ones where nobody ran. It wasn't one of those ones where there were only far left liberals. I mean, Caruso's no conservative, but he certainly, you know, wanted to run this city from a business.
In other words, he wanted to make the buses run on time. He wanted the water delivered, the trash picked up, all that kind of stuff.
They wanted people to go to jail. They wanted people who went to go to jail who were busily robbing everything and driving business out. He had all these crazy ideas. They wanted to have a civil society exist in L.A.
Well, you realize that they didn't choose that, but it's almost as if there has been this, and Oregon's the same way, too. Oregon's very similar, same kind of dynamic in play. It's as if, Rick, that the left running the West Coast is almost like living off of the seed corn of Western civilization. And, you know, it's like they're not producing anything that works now, but they're managing to continue to destroy the world as they live off the seed corn. Is that a way of looking at it, too? You know, all of the accomplishments of the past, they're able to keep going for the time being, but it's almost gone.
That is exactly what's happening. And, you know, you can look at places in, you know, Europe, and you can see that, you know, they've been doing that for years. And it's a, and, you know, the collapses, the problem with collapses is,
well, it's a process. It's not. It's not a happening.
They don't happen slowly. A collapse happens. You know, a building collapses. But it was years and years and years and years and years of the internal structure and the foundation and the and all the steel kind of degrading over time until it finally just gives in under its own weight. And that's unfortunately what's happening in Western civilization.
Yeah, it reminds me of Hemingway's talk about how you go, how did you go bankrupt? I mean, you know, gradually and then all at once, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. No, it's exactly right. That's exactly right. In fact, if I could have remembered that quote, I would have used it because it's an exact description of it.
So
that's what we're pushing.
And that's it. And that's also, that's what led to President Trump, okay?
100%. Twice.
That's honestly where we find ourselves right now. And so Trump is now at his sentencing hearing. And, of course, we know this is all about just tagging the felon label on him with these nasty people. We know that. It's probably going to go away on appeal. It was a BS deal to start with. So I guess the question is here, you know, here it is. We got President Trump and his folks here that are going to try to do something to reverse this trend which has been set in motion here. And so my final question here for you from the D.C. Swamp Update, because we've been talking about California, but it's all connected right now, is what does the agenda look like moving forward here over the next few weeks here? And what could we be looking for and what should we watch for?
The big fight, and this is a D.C. fight, it has nothing to do with the New York sentencing, which is an abomination in and of itself, the whole trial was.
Right.
But in terms of D.C., the discussion, at least in Republican circles, is how do they achieve the max as much of the Trump agenda legislatively as possible? And there are two ways of thinking. I think one's correct, but there are two ways of thinking. Using the budget reconciliation project process is essentially a means that's at the disposal of the Congress. If you have a majority of the same party that's in control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency.
And you said last week, you've been talking about this before, I just want to just cut to the chase, though, that you only need 51 senators or 51 votes in the Senate to be able to move something forward. So this would obviously be the wisest way to move forward, wouldn't you think?
It's the way you can get don't get things done without needing Democrat votes. The challenge is, and so there's two proposals. One is to break, to try to get everything done up front as soon as possible, and then get, and then deal with the bits and pieces of the legislative agenda downstream. But try to get as much of the Trump agenda done in a big, beautiful bill, as Trump calls it. And then there's an idea that says might be too hard to get one bill because you don't have any votes you can lose. And so let's do something narrower and then try to do another one in October, November.
And that's too late. Too late.
And that's certainly what I think. And I the reason it's too late is simple. The Republicans can't have a majority of two.
A majority of two. Yeah. So you wait till November, till October or November to get anything done. I mean, any kind of honeymoon, it's long over at that point.
Trump will never be more powerful than he is on November, on January 20th at 12:01. That's when he's at the apex of his power. The further you get away from that, the more people are scrambling, every person for themselves, and the less you're going to get done. And they have three bills they're going to try to do in the first couple, 3 months. One, they have to deal with debt, with a debt ceiling, which is upon us again. Two, they're going to have to deal with the CR that was rightfully pushed to March, but now they're going to have to do it again, and so the government doesn't shut down for whatever reason. And then the third one is the budget reconciliation. Those three bills are going to sap the Trump's power to be able to drive people to do stuff they don't want to do on the Republican side. That's what's going to, and so those three bills alone are going to be take away, are going to be like kryptonite to his power. And you have to get as much done as you can within the context of those three bills, because it's likely you're never going to have a functional majority again.
in the remainder of the Trump presidency, and I mean both terms.
All right, that's why. Well, I'm going to see. I'm supposed to be talking with Cliff Benz sometime next week. He's been asking for some time. We're going to try to get something scheduled, but we're going to really push that side of it. And I'm hoping
it's
that he's
interesting to hear what he says. I think he has. He'll have a great perspective on it because he's hearing the arguments internally, and I'm providing arguments into them. But I'm just telling you, if they don't they have to shoot the moon, and because if they don't go for everything they can get now, Donald Trump remembers what it's like to fight with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer over trying to build a wall because it didn't get done when the Republicans had control of Congress.
Rick Manning, president of Americans for Limited Government. Read up more on DailyTorch.com. Glad your family's doing okay, Rick, and thanks for the conversation here on the philosophy running the West Coast, that is for sure, and how it's at odds with actually making things work and run on time. But we know that, and that's why Trump is here, and Trump is the reaction to what has been going on here on the West and East Coast, really. And we'll kick it all around again next Friday. You be well. Thanks.
Look forward to it. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grants Pass on the Bill Meyer Show.
Looking for durable and custom-fit metal roofing? Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. specializes in metal roofing. With two portable snap-lock machines, they pull right up to your door, allowing them to custom-cut every panel for a perfect fit. With over 18 years of experience, they serve Jackson, Josephine, and Curry counties, offering reliable roofing solutions tailored to your needs. Licensed, bonded, and insured for your peace of mind. Visit Stephen Westfall RoofingInc.com today for your free estimate. CCB number 250730.
Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company provides water to Rogue Valley homes from field to faucet, including water filtration systems and service. Siskiyou Pump offers a free water test for hardness, iron, pH, and conductivity, and will offer a free no-obligation estimate on service or a new state-of-the-art filtration system if desired. We've been producing the most essential ingredient to your home for over 50 years, fresh, clean water. So if you have concerns about your water, call for your free water test and no-obligation quote. Visit SiskiyouPump.com.
Do you have an electrical checklist that needs to be completed? Call Completed Electric Plus. Need an exterior all-weather plug-in installed? Completed. A motion sensor light in your entry, pantry, or laundry room? Completed. Too many appliances tripping your breaker? Completed. RV outlet on the side of the house? Completed. Electrical jobs around the house get completed quickly, expertly, and affordably with licensed techs from Completed Electric Plus. Specializing in small, residential electrical jobs. Call Completed Electric Plus and check those jobs off your list. Visit them at Completed Electric Plus.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. You're waking up with the Bill Meyer Show.
3 minutes after 7, we'll check town hall news here in just a flash. Monica's here. Monica, you wanted to talk about the president most likely coming out of this hearing, which is going on right now, coming out as a convicted felon. What do you think?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. If he's a felon, he's not allowed to own any guns, not even a bullet. He is going to be in charge of our military. And I just don't know how the Supreme Court couldn't even think of this. And the button, he's in charge of all of that. Now, how can he do all of that?
Well,
he
can be around guns. Other people can have guns around him, I suppose. But you're right. He would not be allowed to possess one himself. You're right.
And the thing about it is Trey Gowdy brought this up.
Uh-huh.
That should have been brought up to the Supreme Court,
mm-hmm.
because if he's not allowed to have even a bullet, he has no command over any of this. So how is he going to command?
Well, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. I don't think that makes sense.
It doesn't to me either, but the way the law is read anymore, I just thought I'd bring it up.
Well, just remember one thing, though. I'm always remembering there was that famous quote from Richard Nixon, if the president does it, it's not illegal. I know that's not true, but I always thought that was a great statement that he made. Something tells me that there will be a few changes made once coming to the Oval Office. Okay. All right. Thanks, Monica. Let me grab a quick call. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Hey, Bill. It's Wild Salmon.
Hey, Steve. Got a quick one here before news? Let's hear it.
Yeah. The problem with progressivism is you always have to have rage. Because people have to be upset about something, but they can never carry through because they have to move on to the next thing. And the next thing is always farther off of what everybody really agrees upon. So eventually they're going to run into things like the fires in California as the result of their policies.
Yep. But ultimately, though, I still think the root of it is that the main focus, the main core focus of the progressive world is to be working on stuff that can't really be fixed.
Well, yeah, they're not trying to fix anything. They're just trying to keep people upset.
I'm saying, though, it's always used, but it's used then as the excuse on why you can't fix the stuff that can be fixed because, we haven't been able to eliminate racism from our system here, and this is why the fires aren't getting put out, right? You know, it's that kind of thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's always rage. It's always rage. Let's keep everybody upset. And Jonathan Turley says, you know, that book of his is the essential freedom. The essential right, freedom in the age of rage. You got to think about stuff. And if you're always upset, you don't think about it.
That's right. That's very good. And of course, what stops us from thinking, of course, I would dare say, even the internet itself with the social media apps and everything else, everything's about keeping us in reactionary mode, reacting rather than actually thinking about stuff, right?
Yeah, save the ancient forest, you know, give blacks the right to vote, all that stuff. But once they've done something, they can't assimilate it. They can't make what they've accomplished mainstream because it's crazy.
Which is also why they need to be taken out of power, all right? We'll just leave it at that, Steve. All right. Coming up here, we got Town Hall News. I appreciate your call, as always. We'll have some open phones coming up, especially after Mr. Outdoors. We will do that here a little bit later on this hour here. Town Hall News will be coming up next. We have the Outdoor Report. Outdoor Report is sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford. We'll see where that's going and maybe get Greg's take on the L.A. fires here. And, you know, it's a real human tragedy. At least 10 people dead. And you know there's probably going to be a lot more than this. And I think what's also frustrating about this, when you think about it, is that even if you did everything right, a lot of this was still going to occur. It's, you know, Mother Nature is still going to ultimately win these kind of battles. It'd be like, you know, trying to see if I can, you know, prevent the big earthquake which may hit our area someday, right? You know, you could sit there and do everything you can to try to have our earthquake structures, but, you know, Mother Nature, if Mother Nature still wants to shake us to the ground, it's going to happen. And when Mother Nature is going to blow the Santa Ana winds and there's spark and fuel, what do you want, right? To be human. This is the Bill Meyer Show.